Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program, third and final hour now upon us here this Saturday evening, September 1st, Labor Day weekend. Great to have you with us, whether you're tuned in here in Memphis on our flagship station, one of the other AMFM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, or online, no matter how you're tuned in, no matter where you're from. We're very glad to be with you, very glad to be able to grow with you, and certainly we hope to be able to continue to do that, to continue to score victories for our people. You know, when we announced the kickoff of our third quarter fundraising drive, we kind of looked back and reflected on some of the very major victories the political cesspool has garnered over the years, from the attention we've received from CNN, MSNBC, Fox, hundreds of newspapers and magazines all around the world, Entertainment Tonight, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Hollywood Gossip Rags, New York Times, you name it. And so many in between, so many that we forget most of them, frankly. It occurred to me a week later, oh yeah, what about that big interview, Are Whites Racially Oppressed? CNN.com does this huge, groundbreaking story, and to their credit, it was actually almost balanced. They selected me and Peter Brimelow to be the subjects answering our side of the issue on that question, Are Whites Racially Oppressed? Bill, as your phone rings, perfect timing. I'd like to toss it over to you before we settle into other topics of discussion before bringing on Tom Sell in just a moment to wrap up that incredible and enthralling series. What do you think has contributed? What are the biggest factors in the success that we've been able to garner over the years?
I think it's a very simple formula. One, always tell the truth. Two, always tell the truth in a sane and reasonable manner. And three, always stand your ground. Don't back off. Don't run for cover. Don't change your message. We've basically been broadcasting and sending out the same message ever since we went on the air. The message hasn't changed, and therefore the truth hasn't changed, so why should the message change? And I think that's the important thing. And anybody who comes on this show can be sure that they are hearing the truth. And by the truth, I mean the truth that should be obvious to everybody, but has been somehow removed from our consciousness. I think that when we talk about the truth, we're talking about what everybody should see with their own eyes, and we just have the courage to speak it. It's the emperor has no clothes sort of, you know, situation we're in. We say, hey, the emperor has no clothes. Can't you see it with your own eyes? People can see it, and yet they're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to join in. They are part of a system that has completely neutered them of racial consciousness. You know, Aristotle said the last virtues of a dying nation are tolerance and apathy. And our race is affected with both. And I think we have been taken advantage of over the years. Our altruism has become our own worst enemy. So we've got to, at some point, stop thinking about that. Let me give an example, James. There was a news item on CFCC.org I found very interesting. And it comes from a little town called, I think it's Franklintown or Franklin, Indiana. Apparently in that town, to be able to ride the bus, the school bus, to school and back, the students or the parents of the students had to pay a fee. Now, they're talking about a public school here, had to pay a fee to get their children on the bus. Well, one misty-eyed, bleeding-heart, white liberal in that little town thought that was completely unfair to the black students. They weren't getting the advantage of riding the bus. So she goes to the school board, and they agree to pay for the black students so no longer have to pay the fee. Well, you know, sometimes these programs backfire in the face of these liberals and prove to them just how stupid they are. And that was the case with this woman. Unfortunately, it backfired on her son, because the first day of school, when this new program went into place of paying for the black students to ride the bus, her son, her own son, got brutally beaten on a bus by one of the new black students benefiting from his mother's liberal agenda and liberal open-hearted, give-them-the-money attitude. So it backfired in her face. And we're going to see more and more of that. You're going to see more and more liberals seeing their own policies and their own beliefs and their own agenda exploding in their faces. And frankly, I hope it blows them to kingdom come, because a liberal is no good to the white race except as a speed bump or something. And like I said, there's one, a witch under my van. I don't know what liberal it is, but nevertheless, when my van landed on it, it had to have been a liberal. Nevertheless, the point is that they have been speed breakers against white consciousness, and it's time that they wised up or disappear, because their future is a dangerous future for our children.
CFCC.org should be among your daily reads. Obviously, everybody listening to the show tonight, everybody without exception, goes to thepoliticalcesspool.org every day, right? Well, you should be, and CFCC.org, another one you should go to at least as often. Speaking of the CFCC, great segue into something I wanted to mention. That is, we can now officially announce that on September 22nd, Saturday, September 22nd, yours truly and the Political Cesspool crew are taking our show back on the road. This time, Jackson, Mississippi. We were in Nashville, obviously, for the CFCC National Conference. A rowdy and raucous crowd joined us there for a three-hour live remote broadcast from Nashville back in early July, the first week of July. Well, you get another chance to do it. If you were there, come back and join us again. If you missed that one, make plans to be with us this time. Saturday, September 22nd in Jackson, Mississippi. It's going to be a little mini conference, just an afternoon event. It starts at 1 o'clock. And ends after our show from 1 until 4:30 on Saturday, September 22nd. You will hear from me, Keith Alexander, Sam Dixon, and other speakers. At 4:30, you will get a free dinner provided to you by the host, which
has gone out at the radio station. Power has gone out at the radio station. I'm now calling in the dark on my cell phone, and it looks like it might be coming back on. Satan didn't like what Bill said about liberals, so he knocked the power out here. God protect us, please. Well, now that is a tough one. That is unprecedented. In 8 years of the political cesspool, that is unprecedented that the power goes out while we're on air. See, live radio always throws you a curveball. To rebound from that will take some doing. The power flickering out. Looks like it might be coming. It is back on now, so we'll have to get the system back up. Unreal. Well, I tell you, the political cesspool always entertaining. And, sometimes hosting the show entertains us in ways that we didn't foresee.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
The forces of darkness have conspired against us tonight here at the political cesspool. May righteousness prevail. You know, for a minute there, all we had going in the studio here was the candle we light at the beginning of each show that's symbolic of our flickering light in the darkness out there, the voice that we are for our people, the symbol of hope that we hope that we are. Anyway, so first time, that's a first in 8 years of broadcast radio for me. Power going out in the station, knocking us off the air. I'm calling in on a cell phone. Hey, we love it. Hey, it's fun. Anyway, quick, before we get on to something else. September 22nd, this was the announcement I was making before we went to the blackout. We'll be in Jackson, Mississippi. Lunch is at 1, speakers start at 1 o'clock. Lunch at 4:30, or an early dinner, if you will. And then at 6 o'clock, we're doing the live remote broadcast. Just remember, Jackson, Mississippi, September 22nd, live show Political Cesspool. We'll put all the other details on the blog this week. But go ahead and mark your calendars. We'd love to have you there. It is no charge, unlike the CFCC National Conference, which you had to pay a registration fee. This one is free of charge, and you get free food. In addition to being able to watch and participate in a live taping of our show. It's all happening in Jackson, Mississippi on September 22nd. It's being hosted by the Great Southern Chapter of the CFCC. Okay, that was the longest. That was a 15-minute announcement for that. Bill, back to you. I tell you, that thunder is roaring outside. Garth Brooks, The Thunder Rolls. We might go off the air again. But what do you want to talk about before we get Tom Sell? We were reflecting on the now extinct Mid-South Fair. Could we tell them the story behind that?
One quick thing I wanted to say, as you know, James, right now, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you that we have made contact with a really, really big guest, one of the biggest we've had on the show. They have confirmed that we will be, uh, uh, he, this guest will be appearing on the show. And I want to tell you, it's a no miss. Since we don't have all the details and all of the little knots tied and all of the stitching done on this, we're not going to mention it. As usual, we wait till the night of the show. But we will be telling you, we got a really big guest that we've got in the can we're working on right now. And they have agreed to appear on the show. So just be waiting for that. It should be September. It'll appear not the same night as a conference, but the weekend, the Saturday before that, right? So anyway, we're working on that. So keep listening, the left will go berserk with this one. So this one you won't want to miss. But James, you're right. When I was a kid, when I was a little boy, the Mid-South Fair was the big event of the fall. You didn't miss going to the Mid-South Fair, held at the fairgrounds in Memphis. The longest continuous fair in the country, 150 years that the fair had been held on the same grounds in the same location, the longest such running fair in the country. And for years and years, I would go to the fair. I would take dates to the fair. My friends and I would go to the fair. Then I had kids, and my kids did get a chance to go to the old Mid-South Fair when they were very little. And then the fair suddenly disappeared. Concessionaires didn't want to go and set up anymore. People who brought the fair to the town, these different companies or fair groups, would no longer set up rides. They gave up on Memphis. Now, I can tell you this much. That wasn't the case when I was a kid, when they were fighting to get here. What do you think changed the landscape around the fair? Well, I can tell you it was a demographic change. And the fact is, the increasing number of non-whites going to the fair killed it, because the whites had the money. The whites are the ones who behaved. The whites are the ones who made the fair what it was. And the fact is, the minorities, the blacks, the Mexicans, and the others didn't have the same sort of reverence or I don't want to say reverence, but sense of fun, sense of loyalty to that fair. And so they destroyed it. And now even the grounds have been completely leveled. It's virtually a wasteland, turned into a wasteland by the influx of non-whites and the lack of appreciation they have for such institutions.
I'm a little bit longer in the tooth than your kids, but not quite as long as you. And yeah, of course, I was born in 80, so I remember going to the fair with my grandparents, my parents in the mid 80s and late 80s and early 90s. And it was great. I mean, I look forward to it every year, the Mid-South Fair, you know, concerts and rides and the carnival and all that stuff, the games, the midway. And over the course of the last 10 years, and obviously up until the point 2 or 3 years ago when the Mid-South Fair just stopped existing because you were putting your family in danger. I mean, truly. You know, we did the story at the top of the show in the first hour about how pizza delivery chains in Detroit won't send their drivers out after dark. Well, the same reason the pizza companies won't send their drivers out after dark in Detroit is the same reason the Mid-South Fair no longer exists, is because of the demographics of the people that were going there. You would put your family at risk to take them there to enjoy a night out. They could get mugged or worse. At the very least, they were going to hear foul language and be subjected to everything you know manifest itself when you walk into a third world setting. And the Mid-South Fair became very much a third world venue toward the end of its run. And now it is... It is no more, and we all know why. But again, we're supposed to look at this and say, man, I just don't know why the Mid-South Fair went out of business, Bill. I just it had been operating since, what, 1902? I mean, it was about 100 years old.
In the 1860s.
1860. So this was something almost antebellum in nature. So anyway, 100-plus years the Mid-South Fair had operated. It was always the highlight of a Memphian's calendar year. A couple of years ago, it stopped, and we're supposed to say, man, I just... Economy must really be bad. I just don't know what happened to it. Well, we all know, and again, as in so many cases, the cesspool is the only one talking about it in an honest way. And of course, this is a Memphis issue, and it's not something that our listeners in other markets and ports of call can relate to. But you can relate to it. It's just not in this particular for this particular venue. But you've seen things like this happening, and you know why they happen.
people are finding out more and more why they happen. As I say, take a look at that little town in Indiana where, once again, a misty-eyed, bleeding heart, lame brain liberal puts a policy and a new program in place, which is only destructive to whites. And that's what people have got to grasp, is that we have got to create new institutions and preserve old institutions that are specifically ours. You know, James, tonight I was watching on the local PBS affiliate a broadcast of the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra playing in front of the Schönbrunn Palace in Vienna to a crowd of thousands. And these people sat in front of this open-air concert in rapt silence at the magnificence of a symphony orchestra playing in front of this palace. It encapsulated everything that is best about Europe and European-derived people. This huge crowd of Europeans, utterly silent, well-behaved, and they are taking part in a great European white tradition of great music in front of a grand palace created by us. And no other group has that kind of tradition.
And that's the thing. It's not about hating people who aren't of our particular ethnicity. It's that they will never have our traditions. They will never have our culture. They will never share these values. And certainly you could make a case that, yes, when it comes into crime and all of that, you know, you definitely want to keep at arm's length. But even if they didn't commit crime, even if they didn't have lower IQs, no one can be us but us. And there's something to be said for that, you know, and I want to preserve and protect our rich cultural heritage. Got to take a break, folks. We'll be back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. If it's the last thing we ever... And welcome back to the political cesspool. Bill Rowland taking the controls from James Edwards for the last half hour and our last installment of the amazing, heartbreaking, shocking story of Dr. Tom Sell, a prominent dentist in St. Louis who was subjected to the full wrath of the federal government for political reasons, and I think mainly to demonstrate to him and other people that the government can come after you anytime they want. They can persecute you while pretending to prosecute you, and Dr. Sell certainly is an example of the tyrannical federal government under which we live. If you haven't heard Dr. Sell's story, please go to our archives and listen. If you don't know what has happened to him, every American should hear his story and realize that anyone in the United States can become a real political prisoner. You're not living in the America that was created by our founding fathers. Dr. Sell, are you there? Hello, Dr. Sell. Dr. Sell, are you there? Well, I don't know. Do we have Dr. Sell on the line? Okay, yeah, Dr. Sell, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I couldn't hear you there for a second. I was wondering
yeah,
if a little earlier we had our electricity knocked out and we had to set up the connection again, and so I was a little worried that maybe we were back off the air, but we got it fixed.
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Dr. Sell, I can hear you. I can hear you fine. I was going to ask you, as this is the last segment of our show dealing with your ordeal, to tell us what happened once you got out of prison and how your life has been since your incarceration, your unfair, unconstitutional incarceration, and your eventual plea to get out of prison, which made you essentially a criminal according to the government, you were actually pleaded no contest to crimes against the United States of America. What happened to your life after your term in prison?
Well, after I got out of the halfway house, I live here in an old house in the country in a very small town called Caledonia, Missouri, and everything's doing well, and my children all turned out well. They thank God. That was the biggest blow, was missing my family, all those years not spent with my family, with my children and my wife, and missing all those events of the kids growing up. Everything's doing fine now.
But this is, in some ways, in retrospect, of course, better than your prison, but you lost your practice. You could no longer practice dentistry, and you were denied a license once you got out of prison. And certainly I know doctors and lawyers and other professionals who've regained their licenses, but you were not allowed to have your license back.
Well, that's true. The state board went against that, claiming that I was a convicted felon. And, of course, no one was able to pay the rent on my office, so all my equipment was thrown out on the street in front of the office building, and the other dentist just picked through it and took it. So I lost, you know, all my dental units, x-ray machines. I had my own lab in the office there with all the equipment necessary to make dentures and porcelain and gold crowns. I even had my own laboratory technician that worked just for me. So we lost all that, lost all the equipment, probably $250,000 worth of equipment. And then, you know, of course, the whole practice that took me 21 years to build up was gone. Lost my retirement account, lost my house in West St. Louis County. Just lost all my material things. But I've got my family and doing fine right now, just not doing as well, of course, as I was doing before all this occurred. It was a big blow to me. My mother died right before I was released from incarceration, and that Judge Store wouldn't even let me attend her funeral. So I missed the last 7 or 8 years of my mother's life.
Government cruel and vindictive to the very last, not even allowing you to visit your mother before she died, or allowing you to go to her funeral. Now, you lost virtually all of your material possessions, but I think it's really a miracle, Dr. Sell, that you're, first of all, still alive, and that your family remained intact, because so many families are destroyed by events like that. Because certainly I have to say God was at your shoulder the whole time.
I believe that. I'm really blessed that my wife and I are still together, and we must have a very strong marriage. And my children, I don't think they've completely gotten over not having their father around while they were growing up, but they're doing fine. And you know, what can I say?
Well, you picked up where you could, and you carry on as you can, but nevertheless, you know, this traumatic event in your life certainly would have taken a greater, terrible toll on me and my family. I know that, or just about anybody. What do you remember of your last days in prison when you knew you were going to get out finally? You'd agreed to take the plea. And what were your feelings at that point regarding both, you know, your future and the people who remained in prison, who remained behind in prison? What were, did they give you a send off? Did they say anything to you? What were your feelings at that point?
No, I really didn't know I was going to get out till I was taken down to the federal courthouse, and we negotiated at the last minute that Alford plea. And of course, there was no fines, so that was good. I have a lot of compassion for people that are still in prison and pray for them a lot. There's a lot of bitterness, I guess, a lot of bitterness at first, but time heals all wounds.
Well, it certainly did in your case, remarkably. I think I would still be quite bitter, to tell you the truth, if I had been through that ordeal, but you forgave and went on with your life. Certainly, let me ask you, Dr. Sell, in your opinion, how many people, what percentage of people in prison, in federal prison, not talking about state prisons, but in federal prison, do you think are innocent and simply imprisoned for reasons other than crimes against the United States of America?
Oh, I have to say at least 15%.
That's a very high number, considering our justice system and how meticulous it supposedly is with DNA testing and new methods of prosecution. But as you said in a previous episode, if you go into the federal system, you're going to be found guilty. I thought that was a very interesting statement. Is that because it is the federal government and because they just can't allow anyone to be innocent under one of their malicious, vindictive prosecutions?
Yeah, they've got all the power. They've got all the money to spend. They have created a very uneven playing field, and the judges are against the defendants.
I find this very frightening because of the current attorney general we have in office right now. Eric Holder, I think, is a politically a politically motivated, vindictive prosecutor, and I think he's going after people anywhere and everywhere he can to carry out the leftist agenda that the Obama White House has put into motion in this country. And certainly I think he's an extremely dangerous man. Do you think that such federal courts actually, in some cases, should be abolished entirely? I mean, are how many federal laws are actually being prosecuted that aren't really something against the citizens of this country? Dr. Sell, I want you to think about that question. We're getting ready to roll into a break. I'm Bill Rowland. You are listening to The Political Cesspool with my guest, Dr. Tom Sell, the last installment of our ongoing interview with him. And I guess we'll be right back right after these messages. You are listening to The Political Cesspool. I've got 5 seconds, and that's it.
That's it for tonight?
No. You'll be back on in 15 minutes, Dr. Sell.
Okay.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place.
Girl, there's a better life for me. The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well, or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur, or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up 3 or 4 times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to cardioprim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
And we're back at you. Bill Rowland, filling in for James Edwards, this last segment. covering the Dr. Sell story once again, the last 15 minutes of this story. And Dr. Sell, I want to ask you what your feelings are about this country, your opinion of this country, and what you think is going to happen. Where is this country headed, considering what you went through? It could happen to anybody for any reason. If the federal government decides they have a grudge against you, they can swoop in, take you into custody, make you a criminal against the United States of America. What do you think about the country you live in now since your prosecution and imprisonment?
I love my country. I love America. As you know, I was in the Army Reserve, and because I couldn't fulfill my duties as a reserve officer, I got a honorable discharge. But I feel that the federal government is too powerful, especially the judicial system. It needs to be curtailed and give more of these prosecutorial functions to the states.
Well, certainly more and more crimes have been, or rather criminal offenses have been put into place in the federal judiciary. For instance, the hate crime legislation that I think allows the government to go after anybody for any reason. All they have to do is apply the word hate to it, and you could end up in prison for a very long, long time for some even minor crime. But nevertheless, it's the creation of new laws within the federal jurisdiction that's the most frightening to me, because these laws are directed against the citizens of the United States, not directed against terrorists, certainly.
Well, they claim, like the Patriot Act, that they're directed against the terrorists, but really these laws can be applied to any citizen of the United States. Especially, they hate people that own guns. They're really against gun ownership. That's one good thing. Gordon Baum and my attorneys went back there after I got out, and I got my guns, all my guns I got back. They made them give me my guns back. I'm not in possession of the guns, but I still, you know, retain ownership of them. And perhaps someday I'll go through my Congresswoman Emerson, and then I'll get all my the felony conviction dropped, and I'll get all my rights back. But I'm just have to jump through the hoops to do that.
So you can't own guns, and you can't vote at this point in your life.
No, I vote. I've been called in for jury duty, and I own guns. So you know, that's the strange thing about it.
Do you think in the final analysis, when you look back over 8 years of defiance of the federal government and finally being allowed to plead nulla contendere, no contest, on these piddling charges, one being the ridiculous $30 fraud charge for insurance fraud and fraud against, I guess, Medicare or Medicaid, and then the crimes against the United States charge, this you know, big-sounding crime. Do you think in the end of 8 years, if you looked at it as a battle, as a war, do you think maybe you came out a little ahead of the government because they finally, you exhausted them, and their only offer they could make was one which essentially got you released?
Well, I think the crowning achievement was my victory at the Supreme Court, so that it's very, very difficult to force medicate pretrial detainees. And I think this put a big damper in their efforts. I know a lot of people don't probably know about this case, but it is big in the with the defense lawyers associations and with the mental health world. So it's very big in that territory.
Certainly, we discussed last week the case of a young soldier who had posted on his Facebook criticism of Obama, and he was arrested and hauled straight to a mental health facility under government control. And as you said, probably drugged out of his mind, so he doesn't know what he's saying or not saying. But apparently the government is still using these tactics against the American people to medicate them to the point where that they can't have a fair trial, nor can they even be allowed to testify in their own defense as sober, coherent defendants.
Well, he should be able to fight that. His lawyers should be able to fight that forced medication. And, you know, people need to know that they can just say, no, I won't take your drugs, and save themselves from having a chemical lobotomy.
Do you think, in a sense, you are a guinea pig for this kind of prosecution? I mean, looking back on it, that I think clearly you indicated to me that the FBI knew your political leaning and your memberships in the Sons of the Confederate Veterans. They brought that up in court your first day in court. Do you think maybe you were a guinea pig for this kind of prosecution and for this kind of imprisonment that is putting American citizens in prison simply because they don't follow the template of what the government decides is a good American citizen, that is one who is disarmed, obedient, and naive?
Well, I think they do this to a lot of people, and I don't think I was any kind of an experiment like a guinea pig, but yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why they wanted to end my career so badly, was because I was in a position of authority, and they didn't want anyone with my political views to be in a position of authority.
That makes perfect sense, considering what happened to you. And do you have any advice for people who might be faced with the same sort of ordeal that you suffered through? Something that you would tell them, that if you're arrested, if the FBI shows up, you know, if you have political leanings and you know something suspicious happens in your business or in your profession, what's your advice to people faced with the same kind of ordeal that you went through, with the same sort of prosecution?
Well, whatever you do, don't let them force medicate you. They'll have to go through a cell hearing. That's what they call it now. Don't let them force medicate you, because you'll give up the will to fight. As long as you're innocent and you have the will to fight, you should come out okay. The problem is so many years away from your family, you have to weigh that. I had no idea at the beginning of this that it would be so many years away on such trivial charges to begin with.
Well, certainly, you know, you paid the full price for defying this federal monster. And I have to feel that with what's happened with this young soldier, that more and more people are going to be subjected to this type of prosecution, especially with Eric Holder as Attorney General. He's looking for enemies of the state right now. He's looking for enemies of the Obama regime, and he's out to get people. He's looking for prey, so to speak. And so I certainly think that whatever happens, that there needs to be a new view of the role of the Attorney General and prosecutorial process, and certainly that the Attorney General ought to be seen and heard less than any other judicial official in the country, it seems to me. Did you ever have a fear? I guess you had to have had the fear that the federal government may simply have taken you out, may have found a way to get rid of you in prison. You know, dead men tell no tales.
Well, yeah, that's one of my fears, that, you know, they would come into my cell in the middle of the night and supposedly say that I hung myself or had some kind of accident or something. But the higher up I got in the appeals process and the more publicity I got, I think they felt that there would be too much heat and too much of an investigation if any harm came to me. So they were kind of afraid to kill me. A lot of people die in that prison at Springfield. It's got the highest mortality rate of any hospital in the country, And I could go on about different people that I knew that just more or less mysteriously died, especially in the hole, denied their medical care, whatever, and they just watch them die.
Dr. Sell, we're almost out of time, and I want to say that your story's not over yet, that as you know, we're working on a bigger story, a more in-depth story about your life, and I want to say that even though you may have committed crimes against the United States of America, you'll always be a hero of mine. And to everybody else, you've been listening to The Political Cesspool. Good night, everybody.
About us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.